Now let us turn to the release of connected company debt. The general rule is that where a liability under a debtor relationship between connected parties is released, then no credits are brought into account on the part of the debtor and no debits are brought into account on the part of the creditor. However, where such a liability is released under circumstances which fall within the deemed release provisions, or where after the 14th of October 2009 it involves a release of relevant rights, then the debtor company is required to bring in a credit in respect of the release. Under the provisions found within the Corporation Tax Act 2009, sections 361 and 362, although there is no actual release of debt on the part of the creditor, the tax legislation deemed there to have been a release in certain prescribed circumstances. Under section 361, a deemed release occurs where a company connected with the debtor acquires debt from a third party and the carrying amount of the debt exceeds the amount paid for the transfer. The credit to be brought into account by the debtor is the difference between the carrying value in the debtor's account and the amount paid by the creditor for the transfer. Let us consider an example to help illustrate this point. Marco Limited has a bank loan of £800,000. The bank sells the loan to Relock Limited for £620,000, including £20,000 in respect of accrued interest. Marco Limited and Relock Limited are both 100% subsidiaries of Time Limited. Therefore, Marco and Relock are connected for the purposes of Section 361. Marco accounts for the loan on an amortized cost basis and so shows a liability in its balance sheet of £800,000. Relock has paid £600,000 for the transfer of the loan relationship, ignoring what was paid for accrued interest. Under the deemed release provisions, Marco must bring in a credit of £200,000, being the carrying value in its account of £800,000 less the £600,000 paid for the debt transfer. If the debt is repaid in full in the future, then Marco can bring in a debit of £200,000 and Relock will recognise a gain of this amount. There are three exceptions to the deemed release provisions under Section 361, where there is a corporate rescue situation such that the acquisition of debt is at arm's length and there has been a change in ownership of the debtor company during the period 1 year before and 60 days post the acquisition date, and it is reasonable to assume that otherwise the debtor would have become insolvent. There is a debt-for-debt transaction such that the debt is acquired on arm's length terms and is represented by a security which is swapped for a new security with the same nominal value as the old security and the same market value at acquisition. Alternatively, the debt is unsecured and the consideration for the transfer is a similar asset whose terms are substantially the same. Or there is an equity for debt transaction, such that the debt is acquired on arm's length terms and the consideration received is shares in the purchaser company or a company connected with it. These allow genuine corporate rescues to take place without giving rise to a credit on the debtor company. Under Section 362, there is a deemed release of an impaired debt where the creditor is not connected with the debtor but becomes connected when the carrying amount of the debt would have been amended for impairment. The credit which must be brought into account is the impairment adjustment. In addition to the deemed release provisions, there is a further exception to the general rule of no credits or debits for a connected party debt release where there is a release of relevant rights. Relevant rights are the rights of a creditor company which were acquired from a third party in circumstances which would have resulted in a deemed release under Section 361 above, but for the operation of either the corporate rescue or debt-for-debt exceptions listed above. This is an anti-avoidance provision to prevent connected parties from buying third-party debt and obtaining the benefit of the exceptions to the deemed release rules, and then subsequently releasing the debt and not incurring any credits or debits under the general rule for connected party debt waiver. Now let us consider a further anti-avoidance provision with regard to loans made for unallowable purposes. Where a loan relationship has an unallowable purpose, no debits attributable to such purpose, and no credits relating to exchange gains can be brought into the loan relationship computation. If there is more than one purpose to the loan, then a just and reasonable apportionment should be made. There are two classes of unallowable purpose. Firstly, where the loan relates to any part of the company's activities which are not within the charge to corporation tax. Secondly, where the main purpose of the loan is tax avoidance. Tax avoidance is defined as securing a tax advantage, and the definition of tax advantage found at Corporation Tax Act 2010, section 1139, is very broad, including any relief from tax, any repayment of tax, or increased relief or repayments, and any avoidance or reduction of a charge to tax or of any assessment or possible future assessment to tax. HMRC gives some examples of when a loan will be treated as held for an unallowable purpose. For example, where the UK branch of a non-resident company pays interest on a loan being used to fund activities of the company unconnected with the UK branch itself, or a golf club raising a loan to finance the construction of a new clubhouse, as the interest expense would have to be apportioned into the element which is allowable on the basis of the club's taxable income from non-members, and the element which is unallowable on the basis of the club's non-taxable income from its members. Whether tax avoidance is one of the main purposes of the loan would be a question of fact. Finally, we will consider the position with regard to money debts which do not arise from the lending of money, and therefore, prima facie, would not be termed loan relationships. Where the money debt is one, A, on which interest is payable to or by the company, or B, in relation to which exchange gains or losses arise to the company, or C, in respect of which a payment would be chargeable to corporation tax as a receipt of a trade, UK or overseas property business, and in relation to which an impairment loss or reversal arises to the company, or D, a debt in relation to which a deduction has been allowed in calculating the profits of a trade or property business which is then released, then that money debt is deemed to be a loan relationship. This means that the money debt will give rise to loan relationship credits and debits, which will be brought into account under the loan relationship rules, but only so far as such credits or debits relate specifically to the matters listed in A to D above. It is also notable that any interest which is payable or receivable under the Tax Acts is to be treated as a non-trading debit or credit under these provisions. Now have a look at two short multiple choice questions to summarise some of the key rules we've just covered on loan relationships. This concludes this session on loan relationships.